This is Marian Merritt, the lead for industry engagement with NICE, the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education. As part of our series, Framework and Focus, it's my pleasure to speak with Wintana Girma today. She is a governance, risk, and compliance analyst with Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. So hi, Wintana. It's nice to speak with you and learn more about your career in cybersecurity. And in particular, how your role relates to the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework.
Sure. Well, it's nice to speak with you, Marian. Like you said, I am a governance, risk, and compliance GRC analyst. My specialty area is third-party risk management, so I do vendor onboarding for the hospital and university, as well as some GRC team metrics and reporting, and other projects as needed. So I work with the medical device security team, IoT team, as well as security awareness and training.
Oh, that's quite a portfolio you have in front of you. I love it.
It is.
So who do you report to at Rush University Medical Center?
I report to a GRC director as well as to our CISO.
And how big is the overall cybersecurity team, and what kinds of roles do you find that you have in a it's both a training university and a medical center? So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the team is about 25 people split between operations under one director and GRC under another. My role is firmly in GRC, but I work with the whole team. The GRC side is about 11 people. So we've got a four-person IAM team. We've got a policy and ERM integration analyst, a data flow analyst, a medical device engineer, as I mentioned before, who works closely with clinical engineering. We've got two analysts, one for database, myself, and then also an attorney who dual reports to ourselves and to legal.
Wow, it sounds like a number of roles from the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework have been represented right there. Would you say that that's a typical size team in healthcare? How mature is your operation if you compare it to some other organizations?
I would say we're pretty firmly middle of the road. When I first started, I thought it felt very immature to me. Our CISO had just been brought on a couple of years back, and he was building a team from scratch, so he was pulling from the rest of IS to populate his team. But a lot of people had been doing security work, just not under a formal CISO and cybersecurity program. But as I compared to other similarly sized organizations around us. So we've got, you know, Loyola, Northwestern, all the other hospital-university combos. I think we're just about middle of the road in terms of maturity and size.
Great. And so we've talked about this, your career pathway to your current role as a GRC analyst is, I mean, not that typical. So perhaps you can share a little bit with us about how you got into this field.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had already worked in healthcare for quite a while, since about 2013, 2014. I used to be a program manager for a surgery suite at a hospital in Boston. And so I had been working directly with clinicians in an administrative and program planning role, and knew that I loved being in healthcare, but wasn't really married to that as, you know, in terms of career progression. So when the opportunity came to move to Chicago, I knew that I wanted to look specifically at academic medical centers, AMCs, just because I really enjoy working with educators. I feel that, you know, it's personality-wise, it works well for me to learn from the people I'm working with. And when I first came to Rush, I actually came in on a contract role as the executive assistant to the CISO. And so he was just starting out. He had only been here a few months and was starting to build his team. And so as his EA, I was working very closely with him on projects and contracts and helping him with scheduling interviews to build his team. And so as he's filling these roles, he found one that he thought that would suit me. And so he moved me in as an analyst and taught me quite a lot at the beginning, and then surrounded me with other teammates that would continue to teach me. And that's how I ended up taking on, really originating, the third-party risk management program lead role.
So that's great. And as you've been able to observe him building out this now pretty robust team over the last few years, would you say that your colleagues have similar backgrounds, or do they come from more traditional cybersecurity sort of pathways?
I would say it's a pretty good mix. So the first, 10 or so employees that he brought in probably all came in with computer science degrees and had already had a professional interest in cybersecurity, maybe had been working, had moved up the ranks from help desk, like is typical, I think, for most security engineers. But the newer additions have all come in sort of from disparate places. He got his med device engineer from a clinical engineering team. He brought in, a lawyer to work with us to work on policies and things because we work so closely with legal and putting cybersecurity contract information into agreements at the onset. So, I think he was very strategic about bringing in the right mix of skill and personality, and the personality hires came from all sorts of backgrounds.
Yeah, he sounds like an individual with a well-honed sense of aptitude and attitude in terms of identifying talent. So we love to see that.
Agreed. Absolutely.
So have you had a chance to look at the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework to see how well it describes work that you're doing?
I did, yeah. And I actually sort of located one of the places where I would put myself. So in the category of securely provision, I think part of my role at least would fall into the specialty area of risk management.
And I have to admit, when I was preparing for our talk, I used a tool over at the NICS portal where you can just type in search terms. And I typed words like policy and vendor because those came up in our conversation. And those led me to the area of oversee and govern. There are roles like cyber policy and strategy planners. Those also could describe some of your work well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me how you envision the NICE framework could be useful both to guide your own personal career or maybe as a tool for your overall department.
Yeah, so I would say, personally, it's nice to see the specific tasks and skills that associate to different kinds of roles. It takes the guesswork a bit out of whether you're qualified for something or what kind of training specifically you should target. And especially being a person that does a lot of, self-directed learning, reading, watching videos, as opposed to formal training programs, it's nice to be able to target my search in that way to learn very specific things. But then in terms of team building, since that's always something that we're working on, it's nice to see really targeted descriptions to make job descriptions, right? So when you're hiring for a role, it's very easy to just think of the primary function that you want that role doing. But being able to put together, a good mix, I think, of the skills and tasks that would relate to that role is just going to get you a much more targeted applicant and, might decrease the hiring process by quite a lot in terms of time and, not wasting your time, not wasting the applicant's time when you're looking for something really specific.
And do you find that there are particular types of cybersecurity skills or jobs that are difficult for you to fill on your team?
I would actually say it's easier to find talent who understands the technical aspects of the roles we're trying to fill, because it's upfront in someone's resume, what technologies they've used before, what systems they've used, what technical training, what programming languages they know, and all of that. What's more difficult, I think, is finding folks who understand the environment. Even if they've worked in healthcare before, academic medical centers are a whole different beast because we've got the healthcare aspect where we see patients. We've got the research aspect where there's a lot of groundbreaking work going on using technologies that are new and emerging or maybe being built on site. And then there's also a university, and so there's all of the data implications for having students who live and work on site on your network. So I think one of the nice things is finding the right talent in terms of the technical skills that they need makes it easier to then pivot to looking at personality and culture match.
Got it. And as we've talked earlier, I mean, you're an example of somebody, I mean, your CISO spotted talent. You have different lived experiences, different education background, but you definitely didn't have a cybersecurity degree.
Right.
Is this part of a bigger trend, do you think?
I do see that, absolutely, yeah. So it feels like, the earlier additions to the team when it was first being built were people with really standard cybersecurity pedigrees. But now it seems to be moving toward degrees being on the nice-to-have list and being secondary to things like really targeted learning through certifications or actual work experience or transferable skills. And I think that managers and my CISO being one of them who can spot those transferable skills and understand how they would relate tend to have an easier time bringing in good talent and differently thinking talent, I would say.
And you mentioned certification. So how have you been keeping your skills or developing your skills?
Yeah, so I was actually really lucky to be able to attend a SANS course about a year ago. And so I did the 301 level, which is cybersecurity fundamentals, just to get myself up to speed on the networking and cryptography and all of that that, you know, people who learn cybersecurity traditionally in school have the background on. But it was a really good experience. It was a week-long intensive course, and I think at the end of it, I was a little more comfortable with a lot of the terminology and stuff like that. So that's the one professional cert that I have. And then I'm always studying for others. You know, I've got a ton of textbooks on my desk, and whenever I've got free time, I look through them, and I'll continue to get professional certs because I think they're a really good way to test my knowledge in certain areas that are related to my job.
Yeah, that's great. And when you look across the team of 25, how does it look from a diversity point of view?
Yeah, I would say this is the most diverse team I've ever been on. And I don't necessarily think that that was my CISO's aim. I think it was really the way that he hires, in that he's looking for the culture match as opposed to the formal pedigree, I guess, that has led to that. But I've never worked with people from so many countries who speak so many languages. I've never worked with so many women, which I know is unusual in IT and especially in cybersecurity. So it's been really pleasantly surprising how diverse this team actually is, even with only 25 of us.
That's great. And what would you say you enjoy most about the work that you're doing at Rush and in your particular role?
Yeah, so I love my role because I get to see what's being worked on before it's, you know, announced to the hospital or the community at large. So what I do is my function of third-party risk management, we sit within legal and we're part of the contract review process. So when someone wants to bring in a new vendor, they get vetted by my team first. We look at architecture, security controls on base and all of that before contracts are signed. And so because of that, and sometimes we're involved earlier in like the RFP and procurement side of things too. And so I get to see the cool things that our researchers and our physicians and even the university are working on before they become public knowledge. And I always find that really exciting, especially like, you know, we've got this huge new cancer center being built and the kinds of work that they're doing and the way that they're, you know, sort of revolutionizing virtual visits and all of that for their cancer patients. It's very, very cool to be in the room discussing how they're going to make things work before they become public knowledge. I think that's really fun.
I think that does sound really rewarding.
Yeah.
I your enthusiasm is contagious. It makes me want to be part of that too. You could give advice to somebody starting out or somebody even just thinking about cybersecurity as a potential career. Do you have any advice to give someone?
Yeah, I would say the most important advice that was given to me was not to be intimidated. It's really difficult, I think, especially in IT, if you don't have the same training or background, to be put off by all the acronyms. And, you know, it really just sounds like a foreign language sometimes when two people are having a work-related conversation around you if you're not fully involved in what they're doing. But I learned the most from listening, just being in a room with engineers who would talk over my head sometimes. I would just stop doing what I was doing and listen to their conversations. And I learned a lot. And, you know, a lot of that has been lost now that we're all working from home. But what has been cool for me is, you know, and I wish that I had done this before I even joined Rush, just to have some lead-in background. But social media and conferences are also a great way to see and hear the conversations that are happening without having to participate at first. Like, you can just be quiet and read the conversations, and you end up getting a lot more out of them than you'd think. And I think that's been really cool for sort of non-technical, non-textbook learning.
That sounds like really good advice. So as we wrap things up here, Rutana, is there something that you want to add that I didn't ask you, some closing thought that you'd like to share?
Sure, yeah. So I think one of the cool things in terms of the diversity of a workforce is that managers who have been more focused on bringing in people who are going to be a good culture fit and understanding that most of the training happens on the job, which you have to do anyway, right? Like, you might be doing the same kinds of work but using a different technology or a different vendor. And so bringing people in who have the exact keyword matches on their resume may be fine, but if you're willing to teach someone who may not have that technical background but has the enthusiasm and the ability to self-study and the hunger to learn more, I think that's how these really interesting and diverse workforces are built. And I'm finding that we are all really benefiting from especially the diversity of thought in our group. We're all so, so different that conversations in which things happen or decisions get made are just very, very interesting because everyone's bringing up things that everyone else wouldn't necessarily have thought because they're not coming from the same place.
That's terrific. All right, I want to thank you, Wintana Girma, our subject of today's Framework and Focus, and thank you all for listening. This is Marian Merritt, Lead for Industry Engagement with the NICE Program Office. Saying goodbye.